This is the Patriots post-game show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com Radio.
Brady, back to throw. Play action. Fires down the field. Caught. Tight at the 40, 35, 30. To the inside of the 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Cabot, touchdown.
The Patriots post-game show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game. Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Welcome into the Patriots postgame show here on patriots.com. I am Adam Jones. Patriots fall tonight in ugly fashion to the Detroit Lions, 34-10, after a pair of quality victories to start this preseason. Both teams came in undefeated. They came in as the two highest scoring teams during the preseason in the NFL. Patriots specifically had rolled over Jacksonville and Tampa Bay, and we've talked to you after those last two wins for the Patriots by an aggregate score of 78-26, and tonight, just a totally different story for the New England Patriots. They could not protect Tom Brady right from the get-go. He was pressured all night, under the gun from Ndamukong Suh, Cliff Averill, others on that young, talented Detroit Lions defensive line. Brady, by the way, shaky himself. Wasn't exactly a banner performance from him, but certainly the offensive line didn't do a great job protecting Brady on the night. Also, that Patriots pass rush, that defense that we talked about so much following that win over Tampa Bay last week, non-existent. Where was the pass rush? Where was Jerod Mayo? Where was Andre Carter? Where were these guys we spent so much time talking about on defense last week? Matt Stafford had his way, picked apart the New England secondary. And it's far from the first secondary he's picked apart this preseason. He's been otherworldly. But 12 of 14, 200 yards, two touchdowns, one each to Nate Burleson and Tony Scheffler, both coming on Kyle Arrington, by the way. But Stafford on the preseason, eye-opening numbers. 24-31, 356 yards, five touchdowns, zero picks. So they've gone against a red-hot quarterback tonight who leads his team to a 3-0 record as the Lions down the Patriots 34-10 in Detroit. And you can see why the Lions are that sexy pick in the NFL. That young, up-and-coming team, chippy team tonight, certainly set the tone defensively. Had that quick pressure, similar to what we saw from the Patriots offensively last week against Tampa Bay, or I should say that quick pace, not that quick pressure, but just that up-tempo pace from the Lions tonight. Matt Stafford, similar to what we saw with Brady last week against Tampa Bay, that all you Patriots fans loved. You got some of that medicine back tonight from Matt Stafford. It is the Patriots.com post-game show. I'm Adam Jones. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. This is how you get in touch. You want to vent following this one, and look, not the end of the world. It's one loss in the preseason. Patriots looked phenomenal the first two games. They got their butts kicked tonight. Not telling you anything you don't know. But if you want to vent on this game, you can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. And look, here's who we're going to be joined by throughout the course of the program. Bill Belichick will get you his press conference from the podium coming up here in a little under a half an hour. You'll also hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady in the second hour. And we're hoping to be joined by a New England Patriot. Sounds like it's going to be Matt Slater, who had a nice night for New England tonight. Not a lot of good to go around for the Patriots in this loss to the Detroit Lions, their first of the preseason. Again, you're listening to the Patriots.com postgame show. How you get in touch? The Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Something that we've been introducing here on the postgame show is a segment we're going to start calling the good, the bad, and the injured. And we'll kind of tick you through what I saw in this game tonight, starting with the good, and there wasn't much of it. But starting with the good tonight for the New England Patriots, I thought Aaron Hernandez, again, for at least the second straight week, and I think you could argue the third straight week, he's shown how elusive he is in the open field. He's shown that he's almost always open, and when the football's thrown his direction, he's going to catch it. Now, he had some fumble issues in the first game against Jacksonville, but tonight, five receptions, 46 yards. He had four receptions on the second drive alone for the New England Patriots, obviously someone who Brady was looking in the direction of throughout the night. So I thought he was great tonight. I also thought Julian Edelman, and look, injury aside, and we'll get you the latest on that coming up, But Julian Edelman did leave this game, or was at least looked at on the sidelines, with a hand and or finger issue. I thought Edelman wrapped up a spot on this team, if he's healthy. I thought he looked great tonight. 32-yard kickoff return, 26-yard punt return. Also had a couple of catches after Welker was dinged up and knocked out of the game. And look, Brandon Tate did nothing to differentiate himself. Not in the offense, not on special teams. Two kick returns for 27 yards. That was Brandon Tate. And the Patriots started inside their own 20 twice. So I thought Edelman did something to help himself out. The other good one, and Kevin, I had to search for this one. Had to stretch a little bit. But I think it's pretty clear that Steven Gostkowski is 100% healthy. Hit another field goal tonight. He took kickoff duties tonight. Had a couple of touchbacks. So those are my goods for the Patriots. And it was few and far between. Hernandez, Edelman, Gostkowski.
Yeah, and I think that when you mentioned Tate, Pac-Man, I think the guy that may be joining us on this postgame show, Matthew Slater, may be more likely to make this team than Brandon Tate.
Oh, I think Slater had a nice night tonight.
Especially,
and look, he's found his way on this team the last couple of years.
Especially
so, yeah.
with his ability to play special teams and make tackles in the open field and that type of thing, too.
Honestly, he showed you more as forget special teams, he showed you more as a receiver tonight than you saw to Brandon Tate.
Belichick always likes those guys that can play both ways and play in the kicking game, and those guys tend to stick around more often.
Look, and he stuck around the last couple of years, as we just said, so I wouldn't be surprised if he helped himself secure a spot on this team as well.
The Brandon Tates and Chad Jacksons of the world don't stick around here very long.
No, and again, not a banner night for Brandon Tate. I thought Julian Edelman and Matt Slater, for that matter, both outdistance themselves from Brandon Tate. Get to the bad, and Kevin, there was a lot of it in this game tonight. Right at the top of the list for me, and it was a toss-up, but what I put at the top of the list was the offensive line, specifically Sebastian Vollmer. And when I say the offensive line, starting offensive line, that right side had just a terrible night. And look, Dan Connolly and Rich Ornberger, after Connolly got knocked out of the game, they're going to struggle against Ndamukong Suh. That makes sense to me. That's not a good matchup for the Patriots. But Vollmer just got abused by Cliff Averill. The only two sacks in the first half for the Lions, both by Averill, both came against Sebastian Vollmer, who gave up a bit of pressure last week against Tampa Bay as well. That right side has struggled to an extent in this preseason, and we saw it a ton tonight.
He got lucky, too, because he got rolled up on one of those plays where he gave up a pressure, and a guy landed on the back of his legs. Vollmer went down to his knees, and upstairs, we were kind of looking at each other like, oh, boy.
Well, look, right on that first drive, and there was some mix-up as to what it was, but Brady, that incomplete pass, it wound up being ruled a that was Cliff Averill beating Sebastian Vollmer. So I thought the offensive line was right at the top of my list. It narrowly, Kevin, edged the secondary tonight, which had an atrocious night, led by Kyle Arrington, who we already mentioned, gave up both touchdowns, or at least the first two touchdowns to Detroit, the 9-yarder to Nate Burleson, the 22-yarder to Tony Scheffler. Now look, you just look
the
at the stats.
Is wrong, bitch.
You look at the stats, and Kyle Arrington, well, he had an interception, he had a pick, he was atrocious tonight. He got beat left and right. And I'll tell you who was a tough one to characterize for me. Oh, and sorry, Butler had another terrible night. But I'll tell you who was a tough one to characterize for me. Similar to what we talked about 2 weeks ago with Aaron Hernandez and last week with Steven Redley. I thought up and down night tonight from Devin McCourty. He had some tight coverage. He had some pass breakups. He also got beat, including twice, on that opening drive. One for a 37-yard reception to Nate Burleson, and Burleson dropped one in the end zone. It should have been 7-0 after the first drive by Detroit. But I also thought you saw McCourty make a couple of plays, had some ups, had some downs in the game tonight. So I don't think it was all bad from McCourty, but it was mostly bad from that secondary. And look, the third touchdown, the Brown touchdown, when the running back leaked out of the backfield, caught that mix-up between Mayo and Chung, certainly looked like it was a safety's responsibility on that. So overall, the secondary had a rough night, and I thought Kyle Arrington was right at the top of that list. And finally, Kevin, and this is going to be a big one, this is something that I thought they would get hammered out, especially after last week, how terrible it was or how bad it looked. And I know he caught a touchdown. Communication between Brady and Ocho Cinco, still definitely not on the same page. Ocho Cinco targeted four times in this game tonight, Kevin. And the only one that was close was the pick at the end of the first half. Patriots in the two-minute drill again, which is another nitpick. Two-minute drill, don't get any points after rolling. They didn't do it last week either. I know they were backed up in their own end. But two chances in the two-minute drill with Brady, 0-for-2. Tonight it was an interception intended for Chad Ocho Cinco, and that's the same play that Wes Welker got his block knocked off.
Exactly, it was double negative.
Has a reported neck injury right now.
Yeah.
And he left the game, didn't return, so that was all bad. That drive, and specifically that play for the Patriots, Brady and Ocho Cinco, I think it's pretty apparent. And Brady had a rough night overall. Didn't have a lot of time to throw, but even when he did, looked unsettled. Just looked like he was rushing the ball out or whatever it was, and a lot of that has to do with the pressure. But again, those two aren't on the same page, and I think that interception was pretty representative of that, Kevin.
I think it's sort of wearing on Ocho a little bit too, because I don't know if it's just me, but it feels like every time the camera catches him on the sideline, he just looks really sad. I mean, not angry. He's not yelling and throwing playbooks and all that stuff, but he just looks dejected.
That's starting to be something to be weary of.
And in the open locker room pretty much every day this week, you know, kind of facing his locker, back to the media, keeping to himself, doesn't want to be bothered. Just looks lethargic. I guess that's the correct word to describe him.
Something to be wary of. Chad Ochocinco, Tom Brady, the communication. And I thought we would see them more on the same page this week. And I said that during our show, ESPN Boston Radio, during the week on ESPNBoston.com from noon to two. He is, him and Belichick may not have the greatest relationship right now after Ocho's performance tonight. But I said on the program, I thought that we would see Ochocinco and Brady start to make strides. I still expect Ochocinco to have a good season, but clearly the two preseason games they've played in together, the results have not been there. Again, it is the Patriots.com postgame show with Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots fall to the Detroit Lions 34-10, real true blowout fashion, and it could have been worse. That first half, it could have been worse. Give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. We mentioned the good, the bad. You want to weigh in on what you saw in this game, positive and negative. We'll also give you the injured here from the New England Patriots, and this could be a scary one, Kevin. Wes Welker, we just mentioned it, knocked out on that interception, neck injury, did not return to the game. So that one is clearly at the top of the list. You also lost your right guard in this game, Dan Connolly, with an ankle injury. Julian Edelman dinged up, his finger and or hand were being looked at on the sideline. Jonathan Wilhite also dinged up. So that's the list of Patriots injuries right there. And you got to wonder if this Welker injury is serious. And look, it's pure speculation, but anytime someone has a reported neck injury and leaves the game,
it's never a good thing.
It's scary. It's scary is what it is.
The only positive is that he has 2 weeks to kind of recover from it, if it's possible for him to recover in that time.
Well, and that's a good point. I mean, that is a good point.
He probably wasn't going to play in the fourth preseason game anyway. So most of those guys don't.
True. And look, I know just following the Twitter sphere, I think a lot of people wanted Brady out of that game earlier, given some of the pressure he was under tonight.
And some of the guys around his feet, which was making me uneasy.
And look, whether it's Brady, these are the kind of guys you can't afford to lose. Welker was your only consistent receiver tonight. I mean, Brady wasn't hitting any of the outside guys. Ocho, no catches. Branch, no catches. Taylor Price when he was in the game, and he was in early.
I don't even think Deion Branch was targeted.
So I don't believe he was targeted. He was definitely on the field. I'm looking at it right now. Branch was not targeted in the game. Didn't even have a throw his way.
I remember seeing him lining up on the outside there, but I never, you know, remember seeing a ball fly over his head or him drop a ball. And I feel like the times that Ocho was targeted is when Hoyer was in the game.
Yeah, I mean, there was the interception, there was the drop, and Ocho had a drop when Hoyer was in the game. Yeah. Ocho also had that pass interference early in the game,
which was
a terrible call. Yeah, that was a total BS call.
You can't fault him for that.
But, you know, if you're looking for a little ammunition against Ocho, a pass interference call was out there, Kevin. No, I don't think that was fair. Again, Patriots do fall 34-10. To the Detroit Lions, it is the Patriots.com postgame show live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. That's where Nick weighs in from Wisconsin. Guys, I hadn't seen any part of the game, so coming home, I came in to check the last 2 minutes and was expecting to see a domination over the Lions, but it wasn't. Please enlighten me on how this game went so sour. And look, that's part of the reason why we want to give you the good, the bad, and the ugly. I mean, Nick, the real easy way to explain it, couldn't protect Tom Brady, couldn't pressure Matthew Stafford. And that pretty much sums it up, right? Pretty much sums up the game tonight. And this is the preseason game. The Lions came out with a much better tempo, much better pace, similar to what the Patriots did to Tampa Bay last week. I think it's a pretty good analogy. And the Lions just took it right to the Patriots, right from the get-go. And again, arguably the most scary storyline out of this, forget the score, forget how some of the guys looked in this, is Wes Welker's neck injury and not returning to this game. I would put that right at the top of the list as the scariest thing for me. You can send your emails to webradio@patriots.com. You can also weigh in on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. We'll get you Bill Belichick at the podium in just a little bit. We'll also get you Tom Brady, Patriots quarterback, later on in the program. Lex Shane writes in, to webradio at patriots.com. Guys, that was just embarrassing. I understand this is just a preseason game, but the Patriots came out flat. The defense was obviously awful and non-existent. I don't know, Kevin, what do you think about that? The Patriots just come out flat?
I don't know if there's an excuse for coming out flat, but...
Look,
I mean,
by all accounts, the place was loud. Ford Field was loud. This is the dress rehearsal for a regular season game. So yeah. You hope the Patriots got some kind of takeaway from going into as hostile of an environment as you're going to get in a preseason game. I don't know if flat's the right word for it.
Certainly
the Lions marched the ball right down the Patriots' throats. Eight plays, 65 yards, wound up with a Hansen field goal. And when I say the first half could have been worse, it was 27-10 at halftime. The reason it could have been worse is because Burleson should have had a touchdown.
Yeah, let's be honest. That first drive that led up to that
should have had a
goal
touchdown.
Was a flat-out drop. McCourty got toasted.
So McCourty, it was back-to-back plays, and I don't have this in my notes, but I believe
burnt.
It was back-to-back plays. It was Burleson, 37-yard catch up the sideline on McCourty. Not awful coverage. He was there,
but he was a step late.
And also, same play in the end zone. Step late. He was there, but he was late. And that's part of the reason why I think McCourty had an up-and-down night. He had some pass breakups. He had some tight coverage, but he also got beaten up an awful lot.
Here's the
issue. I'm up in the air about McCourty tonight.
I took an issue with the 37-yard completion because he looked like he was there. He turned around to look for the ball and slowed down a few steps, and that's when the separation occurred, and that's what enabled Burleson to make that catch.
Tom writes into webradio at patriots.com. Pats just performed horribly tonight, guys. No one seemed to want it on offense or defense. Guess Belichick's movie night didn't inspire as well as the press seemed to think it would.
The fighter didn't work out.
Yeah,
all that well.
I saw, again, just kind of monitoring the Twitter sphere, just kind of checking it out. There was a lot of mocking tweets about that hey, Mickey Ward must be watching this game and not be too impressed with how he lit a fire under this team or lack thereof as they watched the fighter with Mickey Ward the other night. Anyway, Tom continues. Reminds me of preseason week 3 last year against the Rams, and this is a good point. Patriots were just distracted because of the impending weather at home, or maybe they were cocky from outscoring team 78-26 in the first two games. I got to tell you, I don't think the weather had anything to do with it. And I'm not sure the Patriots were cocky either, but I'd go for that one a lot quicker than I went for worrying about the weather. And certainly it's something they'd be monitoring. You're clearly going to be monitoring that at some point. But I just don't think that's something they were, at least I hope it's not something they were consciously thinking of. In terms of just listening to or thinking about that during the course of the game. That's at least my hope with this thing right here. Dagmar writes in to webradio at patriots.com. Hey, Kevin and Adam, since my phone has taken the day off against my will, I'll just decide to write in. After seeing this mess of tonight's game, there is a lot to talk about. I'll focus on just two of them. One, Butler, also known as Bustler, is paving his own way. He couldn't cover a grandma on wheels tonight, and on top of that, a backup quarterback makes extra yards on a scramble play in front of him. Two, the wide receivers are getting used to drop passes. Not a cool thing. Anyways, thanks for the show. Go Pats. And again, that was Dagmar to webradio at patriots.com. It is the patriots.com postgame show. We are live from our Gillette Stadium studios, the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, where the Patriots fell to the Detroit Lions, 34-10. And right now, want to go out to the guest line. Welcome in, as promised, Patriots wide receiver Matthew Slater following this difficult loss to the Detroit Lions, preseason game number 3. And Matt, tough one tonight for you guys. What was the biggest takeaway from this game for you tonight?
How you doing? Thanks for having me. I guess the biggest thing to take away from this is that we still have a lot of work to do. There's a lot of areas that we need to improve on. We can't get complacent, and, you know, we have to come out each week and work to get better, because if you're not getting better, you're getting worse.
What was your reaction tonight, Matthew, from the Lions' extracurricular activity between plays?
We're just out there competing. They're out there competing. Guys are giving all they have, and, you know, it's a physical game, and attitudes and tempers flare from time to time, and I don't think there was anything malicious going on or just out there competing.
How to compare to that regular season game last year against Detroit on Thanksgiving?
Well, obviously, the outcome was a lot different last year. We didn't get off to a good start. We made some costly mistakes, had some costly penalties. I just know from a personal standpoint, there's a lot of things that we can get better at, but those guys came ready to play, and unfortunately we weren't able to match them tonight.
How about the comparison to last year's regular season game in terms of how the Lions carried themselves?
We're a confident team. Their players are confident. They believe that they can win. They believe that they can compete week in and week out with whomever they're playing against, and they showed that tonight. They came out ready to compete, believing that they could win, and they came out and put it on us.
Talking to Patriots wide receiver Matthew Slater, joining us here on the Patriots.com postgame show. I'm Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Matthew, there's been a lot made of the new kickoff rules in the NFL. What are your thoughts on these new rules?
You know, obviously, we've been seeing a lot more touchbacks this preseason, and I expect that early on in the year will be a trend that we'll see. But later in the year, as the weather cools off, the ball's not going to travel as far. I really think it's not going to have as big an impact later in the season. You're going to see guys returning, guys coming out, and we're still going to have to cover down and be ready to try to pin them down there.
You had some big plays tonight, or at least one big play in terms of the receiving game. Take us through that long reception that you had.
You know, I'm just trying to work to get better, and I'm just trying to run good routes for Brian when we're out there together. And, you know, he made a great throw. I had no choice but to catch it, and as good a throw as it was. And I'm just so blessed and fortunate to be on this team and continue to try to work and learn as a receiver from guys like Chad and Deion and Wes. You know, I'm just trying to earn my keep around here.
You had a solid individual performance tonight. What do you think you have to do to earn a spot on this team?
I have to continue to play each play as if it was my last. Know my assignments and give everything I've got in my body on every single play that I'm in there. And that's been my focus since I got here years ago, and that hasn't changed. I know that I have to earn my keep and scrap and do the little things, and that's what I'm continuing to try to do.
Even though you've been on this team the last couple of years, do you still feel like opportunities like tonight, you want to take every opportunity to catch the coach's eye?
Oh, no question. You never get complacent. You never got in my position. You never feel like, oh, I'm on the roster. You got to come out and compete, like I said, as if it's your last. You know, a guy who's a team, special teams guy, and had to grind over the years and had ups and downs in this league. You just got to keep pushing, and you never feel like, hey, I've arrived or I made it, or get complacent. That's when you'll see your way out.
Matthew, not to say that you guys were, you know, thinking about the weather or the impending hurricane over the course of the game, but how much are you paying attention to it now that it's wrapped up and you got to travel back here to New England?
Well, obviously now that we're headed back, it is a concern. You know, I know there were some tragic things that happened in North Carolina today, and you hope that doesn't, God willing, that doesn't happen back in Massachusetts. And you just pray that everybody stays safe and healthy, and hopefully we can get in safe and be safe over the next couple of days, God willing.
All right. He is Patriots wide receiver Matt Slater joining us here on the Patriots.com postgame show. One of the bright spots in the Patriots 34-10 loss tonight to the Detroit Lions. Matthew, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you guys for having me.
All right, it is the Patriots.com postgame show. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots do fall to the Lions 34-10, their first loss of the preseason. Here's how you get in touch on the postgame show. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Let's hit these phones. Chris is in Newton, and you'll kick things off here on the postgame show. What's going on, Chris?
Adam, Kevin, thanks for taking my call. Long time, first time. The reason why I was calling, I got to tell you, everyone wants to jump on board, tell us about how great this Patriots team is. Dan Shaw, he's saying they're going to go 18-0. I don't want to hear it. I got to tell you, there's so many holes on this team, I don't know where to start. Defensively, secondary is a joke. McCourty, sophomore slump all year. They want to cut Merriweather, but Chug and those other chumps can't even see the field. And now go on the offensive side of the ball, and we lose our most important offensive lineman, Conley. And, you know, the only guy who's going to make plays out there is Slater. We can't find a way to get the ball in his hands. I mean, I don't know what to say anymore. I just want to weigh in and get your thoughts on that.
All right. Well, Chris, thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Look, Patriots secondary did not have a great night. And I think there's something to be said for Devin McCourty and a possible sophomore slump. I think that's certainly a possibility. But again, I didn't think it was all bad for McCourty tonight. I didn't think it was an awful night from Devin McCourty. I thought he also made some plays. And look, that first drive was terrible for McCourty. Burned by Burleson, beaten again in the end zone, and then Burleson dropped what should have been a touchdown. But just working my way through the notes here, you know, McCourty, tight coverage on one of the first drives of the second quarter,
you know,
on Calvin Johnson,
you know what Burleson,
in that quarter.
You know what Burleson did to McCourty?
And we let him off the hook!
That's what he did.
Let him off the hook on that first drive. When I look, Kevin, when I say this game could have been worse than 34-10, or at least that first half could have been worse than 27,
they could have scored 50 points.
Well, that was it. I mean, that opening drive right there, that's a reason why. But I thought there was a play where McCourty had great coverage on Calvin Johnson down the field, real tight coverage. And that was after he had been burned previously for a 30-yard catch. You remember that play where Mayo was right in Stafford's face and Johnson caught that 30-yard pass where he had to make that adjustment. So I thought McCourty was in tight coverage on that play. He also had a breakup down the field on Maurice Stovall. So I just want to say it wasn't all bad for McCourty tonight. I think there were worse players in that secondary. And I would put Darius Butler and specifically Kyle Arrington right at the top of the list. Two touchdowns tonight on Kyle Arrington. And I thought Chris Forsberg, ESPN Boston, tweeted out just a phenomenal picture of Kyle Arrington just with his face in the dirt after getting burned on that Tony Scheffler touchdown. Arrington had a rough night, as did Butler, as did that whole New England secondary. But don't forget, they're going against the red-hot quarterback in Matt Stafford. He has picked apart everyone thus far in this preseason, but not a banner night for that secondary. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Let's go out to Los Angeles. That's where John's calling in to the Patriots.com postgame show. What's going on, John? Hey, John, you there?
Last phone call, that's ridiculous. Relax.
Yeah, it was a little overboard, right, John?
A sophomore slump because of a bad game where everyone played and coached badly. I mean, it was disappointing. But
well, John, just to jump in, would you be surprised if we saw McCourty come down to earth a little bit last year, or at least have, you know, less than seven interceptions and play at a lower level than what we saw last year?
Sophomore slump.
Fair, I guess that's fair.
I just think, you know, they had a terrible night. They had a terrible night against the Rams last year. There's a lot of things to worry about. But, I mean, also Dan Connolly, not our most important offensive lineman.
Yeah, I don't agree with that either.
Call.
He might be number five.
Yeah. So, we'll see what happens, but bad night.
No, and John, look, it was absolutely a bad night for the New England Patriots. You lose 34-10, you get your butts kicked all over the field. Look, you have to wonder if some of this could be good for the New England Patriots. Like, we talked about the last two games, Kevin, where they're going to come in and it's just all sunshine and rainbows, right? After those victories over Jacksonville, victories over Tampa Bay, just all positive. And you say, well, what are some of these young guys going to think? What are some of these younger players going to think about coming in and beating the crap out of these other teams? And what was the aggregate score? 78-26 through the first two games. You just blew the doors off these teams. And we've said, look, Belichick's going to have to nitpick. He ain't nitpicking this week. He's going to send the message loud and clear.
Part of me thinks Coach Belichick was actually kind of like, you know, getting some sort of sick, twisted pleasure out of them getting their butts wet tonight.
We're stabbing and we're really looking for a silver lining. I thought the Shaughnessy column where everybody thought the Patriots were going to be undefeated, I always thought that was overstated. I didn't hear a lot of that from Patriots fans. Now, I do still think this is going to be a good team. I still think they're going to score a ton of points. I don't think tonight was representative for the offense, but I would pump the brakes on the defense after tonight. That would be my big picture takeaway. Like, they looked so good last week against Tampa Bay, getting back after the quarterback, and we saw none of that this week.
Back to reality.
So, Kevin, I would look a lot more towards the defense tonight than I would the offense. I'm confident Tom Brady and the offense can figure it out. They can figure out how to score points. I'm a lot more nervous about the defense following this 34-10 loss tonight in Detroit. It is the Patriots.com postgame show. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's how you get in touch. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Continue to hang out there. We'll get to you. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. Coming up next, you'll hear from Patriots coach Bill Belichick following this disappointing loss in Detroit. That's next on the Patriots.com postgame show.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL Mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
All right, fact. McDonald's Chicken McNuggets are great. But the sauce is like the razzle to the McNugget dazzle, the hip to the hop, the flip to the flop, and now there's new sauces. So zing is zestier, lips smackier, sweet spicier, mouths waterier, and slams even dunkier.
Crispy, juicy, made with white meat chicken, and now four new sauces. Spicy buffalo, creamy ranch, honey mustard, and sweet chili. It's the biggest thing to happen to Chicken McNuggets since Chicken McNuggets happened. The simple joy of making ooze eyer. At participating McDonald's.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
H to the O-V. I used to move snowflakes by the up. I guess even back then.
This is Patriots kicker Steve Gostkowski, and you're listening to the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio.
Feel that synergy? Can you feel the synergy on the show? Kevin, what I do right off the top, I had my good, my bad. Steven Gostkowski, one of my good.
That's why I just went to the locker room quickly and recorded that.
You know what? He was one of my good. I really had to reach for that one.
I teleported to Detroit.
I really had to reach for that one. In case you missed it, we'll just tick through them quick. Because we're going to be doing this off the bat in the Patriots.com postgame show with Adam Jones. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We're going to be doing good, bad, injured right off the bat every show. And we'll just tick through the goods. I thought Hernandez, Edelman, and Gostkowski all had good nights. Bad was Vollmer in the offensive line, Arrington in the secondary, and then Brady Ocho. Those two are just not on the same page. It's beyond apparent. Through two preseason games. Not saying they can't figure it out. Not saying it's something that will never get figured out. But I'd be nervous about that. As a New England Patriots fan, this is one of your big offensive additions. They're going to score points, which is part of the reason why I wouldn't dwell on it too much. But two preseason games with those two out there, and they have not looked in sync. Also, the injuries, in case you didn't hear them, the scary one is Wes Welker, the neck injury, left the game, didn't return. It was after a Brady interception intended for Ocho Cinco. So there's another area where Ocho Cinco helped damage the team, or at least partially helped damage the team. You got Wes Welker knocked out of the game tonight, and we'll keep tabs on that because that could be a scary injury. Wes Welker, how long is he going to be sidelined for with that neck injury? Also, Dan Connolly, your starting right guard, left the game with an ankle injury. Julian Edelman and Jonathan Wilhite dinged up in this game as well. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Let's hit the phones. Taylor is in Sacramento, and you're next up here on the Patriots.com postgame show.
Question. You know, I want to say sometimes it's good to, take a good hard loss, and it kind of brings you, down to reality a little bit, lets you know some things you need to work on. But also, I understand that the announcers had said that the defense, like half of the defense, including Ellis, obviously Haynesworth, were all didn't even go to the game. So how much better do you think the Patriots will be with those guys?
Well, Taylor, that's a fair point. But what were they saying last week when Sean Ellis and Albert Haynesworth and all these guys didn't make the trip to Tampa Bay? Defense looked pretty damn good. So, I mean, you're right. There's a chance that it could get better. You're absolutely right about that. But I don't know. I wasn't really complaining about Ellis and Haynesworth not being there last week. So I think the defense should have been able to take care or at least hold some ground or continue to pressure the core. I would hope to see some of that if they did it last week against Tampa. Why couldn't they do it this week? It's not like they had those guys last week either. That would be my response to it.
They looked like a completely different team. I mean, completely different defense. It seemed like almost all of their, I know Wolfork was there and a few other guys, but it looked like the whole team was gone. I mean, it was pretty bad.
But. No, and Taylor, it was an ugly one, and thanks for the phone call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. He was waiting patiently there for a bit. You can give us a call back anytime. Look, part of me wonders if schematically things were dialed back a little bit tonight. And I know there's one play that jumped out to me, and I didn't expect to see Mayo blitz a lot this week. This is something I talked about a lot on ESPN Boston Radio, ESPNBoston.com, from noon to 2 during the week. I said, I expect Mayo to be dialed back in this game. I don't expect him to be blitzing the quarterback anywhere near as much as we saw last week against Tampa. Why? Because how much tape do you want on this? How much tape do you want of Jerod Mayo blitzing opposing quarterbacks? So part of me wants to think that schematically it was dialed back a little bit, but I remember Jerod Mayo on a blitz. It actually forced Stafford to way underthrow a pass. It was that pass where Calvin Johnson had to adjust and come back and make the catch. Remember, that was on Devin McCourty. So I remember at least one play where Jerod Mayo came on a blitz. But part of me wants to wonder if schematically things were dialed back a little bit. Not to say to let the defense off the hook, because they were atrocious tonight. But part of me wonders if schematically it was dialed back a little bit, and that's something we could take a look at. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. That's where Basement Phil writes in. Jonesy, I don't want to put a lot of stock into a preseason game, but I haven't liked what I've seen out of Ocho Cinco thus far. He looks lost, and there are drops I'm not used to seeing from him. I know a lot has been made of the fact that the Patriots' playbook is a lot more complicated than the one in Cincinnati, but at what point do you start to seriously worry about him playing a big part of this offense? Again, that's Basement Phil writing in to webradio@patriots.com. You know, it's a concern. It's certainly on my list of things to be concerned about. After the secondary, and after the offensive line's total inability to protect Tom Brady tonight. And I put him in that order. First of all, the offensive line, they're a concern. Now, look, long term, I'm not as concerned about them. But out of tonight, I think they were the big story. Couldn't protect Tom Brady. And you saw the offense go right into the dumper. So that was a concern for me. The secondary big picture is probably more of a concern. And look, secondary looked pretty good last week against Tampa. There was a pass rush. Looked terrible this week against Detroit in a 34-10 loss, and there was no pass rush. So my guess, those two are related. It is the Patriots.com postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We'll continue to hear from you right now. Want to go to the podium and hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick following his team's 34-10 loss in Detroit.
You know, I think that obviously, I did a poor job of, having the team ready to play. We didn't really do anything very well in any phase of the game. Certainly not good enough to win. Lions are a good team. They played well. Jim did a great job with his team, and they were a lot more efficient, a lot more ready to play, and played a lot better than our team did. So I don't feel very good about the job that I did. Don't feel very good about really anything we did tonight. Really weren't competitive, and we obviously got a lot of work to do. So, I think there's any other solution to that than to go back and work harder and try to correct a lot of mistakes. And a lot of things we need to do everything better. So, I don't think there's any one area that should be highlighted any more than anything else. So I thought we had problems in every phase of the game. And we obviously weren't coached very well, and we didn't play very well. So. I just tried to. I tried to give you the best explanation I could. Well, we didn't do anything very well. So, didn't throw it, didn't catch it, didn't block, didn't tackle, didn't cover, didn't return. So, it's a long list. Didn't coach, we didn't do anything very well. We didn't have any plans. I don't know, probably does. Yeah, maybe it does. It's hard to find any big positives out there tonight. I'll have to look at the film. I'm sure that when we look at the film, we'll see some things that were done well, probably not very many, but some, and then we'll see a lot of things that weren't done so well. But it'd be hard for me to evaluate anybody's performance just standing there trying to watch all 11 of them at once.
With the Conley's injury, is it possible for him to see Silver maybe get some rest there to be able to check?
Yeah, I don't know.
How late would the decision on guys like Angel or Green and Dowling, when do you make the decision?
We make the decision on all the players when we know, when we feel like we can make the right decision. So whenever that is, that's when we make it. Sure. Oh yeah. Sure.
Is there an electric
cast? Well, certainly more than we've seen in the other two games. Yeah, I mean, there was good energy in the stadium tonight, and definitely the Lions gave their fans a lot to cheer about. There's a lot for the fans to be energized here with. Our team played very well. They handled us easily, so I'm sure everybody there is excited about their performance, and they should be. They did a good job.
All right, that was Patriots head coach Bill Belichick at the podium following his team's 34-10 loss in Detroit. You just heard him wrap up and talk about the energy that was at Ford Field. And look, the reason I bring that up, you're talking about this as your closest simulation to a regular season game, right? And if that's the case, this has to be your worst takeaway of the preseason. And I don't know, I'm curious, so I asked the question to you guys out on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio@patriots.com, because it's the third preseason game. It's the one that's treated most like a regular season game in terms of game planning coming into the game, in terms of starters just playing into the second half, all of those things. Do you take away more from this loss than you do with the victories over Jacksonville and Tampa Bay? You can give us a call, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. I'm not going to go that far. I'm not going to go that far. I do think this is the best team they've faced. And I think you get a good idea, and I know I said this right out of the hopper, you get a good idea why people think the Detroit Lions are this sexy, trendy pick in the NFC North. Like, you got a great look at that. And guess who didn't even play? Kyle VandenBosch didn't play on that defensive line. You know, Lions were without some guys in this game tonight. Now, Cliff Averill and Ndamukong Suh, and you just saw him dominate. Cliff Averill and Ndamukong Suh were all over Tom Brady tonight. But I think you got a good look and a good idea of why a lot of people are on the Detroit Lions bandwagon. By the way, I do have an update on Wes Welker, and this is all good news as it pertains to the Patriots here tonight. Welker told the Boston Herald, Ian Rappaport, and Karen Garesian the following. Told Rapp that he will not need a brace on his neck, and told Karen Garesian that he's okay following that just brutal hit. And look, Welker's the one who laid the hit out on Silva following the interception. But it sounds like Welker's going to be okay. And that is a major bullet dodged by the New England Patriots tonight. When you talk about potentially losing the wide receiver who you'd expect to get the most targets on this team, potentially losing him to a neck injury. And instead, he's okay, won't need a brace. Sounds like at some point we can expect to see him back out on the field. I would not expect against New York on Thursday night, but by week one, sounds like he should be out on the field. So that is certainly good news that he's telling reporters, just that he's talking to reporters is good news. But the fact that he's okay, won't need a brace, those are all good things to pass along. And the Boston Herald was able to catch up with Wes Welker. Also, New England Patriots will be trying to fly back into Boston tonight, depending on the weather, but they're at least going to give it a shot. Try and leave Detroit tonight. Keeping you up to date on those travel plans. And you heard from Patriots wide receiver Matt Slater earlier in the program. I'm not saying it was something they were focused on during the game, because I don't think it was. And I think that'd be giving the Patriots an excuse for no reason. I don't think their minds were in New England because of the hurricane. Now, I don't think that's why we saw the result we did tonight. But once you get out of the game, something you're going to have to deal with. And it's something they're going to be thinking about. And they are flying back tonight, or at least going to give it a shot. It is the Patriots.com postgame show with Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us, webradio@patriots.com. That's where James writes in. Hey, Adam and Kevin, a.k.a. the Puma. Now, why are you the Puma?
It's kind of embarrassing, but apparently a lot of people think I look like Lance Berkman, who is the big Puma.
You know what? I did not realize that was Lance Berkman's nickname.
I'll take that over Ben Roethlisberger, I also get. I don't like.
Interesting. I wouldn't want that one either.
But I'm no rapist.
You do look like a little bit like Berkman. A little bit like Berkman. I didn't know he was the big Puma.
He's just hit his 30th home run the other day.
Yeah, he's a beast.
He's coming back.
He's a beast.
The Puma is making a comeback.
So you're the Puma.
Yeah, I'm like baby Puma.
All right.
He's big Puma.
All right. So baby Puma. All right. I didn't realize that. I gotta catch up to how you guys do things here on Patriots Radio.
That's me.
So James writes in to Web Radio, Patriots.com. What a joke of an effort from the hometown team tonight. Based on their performance, I would have guessed that Belichick took the team to see Geely instead of the fighter. And again, another reference to Mickey Ward. He's getting crushed. Badum-cha. Try the veal. Mickey Ward's getting crushed after showing this video. You got to imagine that Belichick may refrain from showing these things again after the way the team responded. James continues, preseason is preseason, and there were plenty of guys who weren't in the game tonight, but historically the third preseason game, and this is what we were just talking about, is always the most authentic game of the preseason. When I saw an offensive line that resembled the same group we saw against the Jets in the playoffs last year and the Giants in Super Bowl 42, a squad that could not give Brady enough time to effectively run the offense, this has to be concerning going forward, no? Again, that's James writing in to Web Radio at Patriots.com.
What? We just came up with just a brilliant idea. You know, okay. Like they have like Mike and Mike in the morning? We could be like Pac-Man and Puma in the morning.
You like the alliteration?
Or Pac-Man and Puma at night.
Pac-Man and Puma.
Pac-Man and Puma after dark.
Pac-Man and Puma after dark. That's got a nice ring to it.
Could be on like Showtime or something. Simulcast.
I don't know if people want to see that.
Relax.
But James has a good point, though, Kevin, when you're talking about the offensive line. Now, look, I said this earlier in the show. For me, the offensive line is not a big concern. However, you look at postseason losses by the Patriots, and what are some commonalities? Brady under pressure, Super Bowl 42, the Jets lost last year. Brady can't set his feet. He can't step up in the pocket. And by and large, you're looking at the same offensive line. By and large, you're looking at Light, Mankins, Copen, in the case of the postseason game last year.
Take me home, country road.
Connolly and Vollmer. Who's that, Light?
It's Matt Light.
That's who it sounded like. I was unfamiliar with that
good
drop.
Good vocals.
He can sing,
man. I
got
15 seconds of it.
He can sing, man. He can. He's got some pipes.
And for anybody who's ever been to a Patriot game, he used to sing that Cheers song. Remember that? That was terrible. He's waking up out of bed, and he just starts singing the song.
I do recall.
It's unfortunate.
But the commonalities in Patriots post-game losses, the offensive line is on the list, Kevin, and they were front and center tonight. I guess my roundabout way of answering James's question, I am more concerned about the secondary than I am about the offensive line big picture. Over the course of the season, I have a lot more questions about how the secondary is going to hold up. What are they going to do with the safeties? Is McCourty going to regress? Which I do think is a fair question.
Sophomore slump time? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to all of a sudden morph into Darius Butler from last season. I'm not saying that. But Could he regress? Sure. You see that all the time with players in their second season.
Now, you bust my chops for doing this, so just get off that fence and tell me if he's going to regress.
Well, he's going to regress.
Okay.
But is he going to be, you know, somebody who – is he going to be as bad as he was tonight? I don't think so.
You're saying he won't be as good as last year?
No.
Okay.
No. I expect him to take a step
back. That's your foot in the sand right there. That's you making a stand. I
don't see how I was on the fence. I think I said that. I expect him to take a step. I don't expect him to have 7 picks this year.
No.
And I don't expect him to go to a Pro Bowl.
Well, maybe they won't throw at him.
So, fine. That could be part of it. But I think tonight is some of what you're going to see Adam McCourty. I don't think it was all bad Adam McCourty tonight. And I think he's somebody who my sense is Patriots fans are crushing. And I'm not sure that's fair because I did think he held up as well as anyone in the secondary tonight.
Yeah, which isn't saying much.
No, I mean, it's not. You're absolutely right about that. But Chung didn't start the game. Don't forget that.
No.
It was Merriweather and Sanders who started the game.
Big game James.
So Sanders is back. He started the game. Chung didn't come until the fourth series, and he started playing with Sergio Brown. That's not a great sign for him.
I mean, Chung was playing in the fourth, late in the fourth
quarter.
He
was still out there. You're absolutely right. Butler and Arrington roasted over the course of the night. And Arrington was the two touchdowns, but Butler was just as bad.
Here's the thing about Butler, Peck, is that I don't even know if he got roasted. He always seems like he's on the guy's back or he's right in the guy's jersey. He just can't make the play.
He's not there to make a play.
He can't put the hand in there to either knock it down or rip the ball out. It's like he's the guy's shadow. He's right there, but he just doesn't do anything. He just watches him catch.
So
it befuddles me.
I think the secondary had a bad night, and I would worry more about the secondary long term. For me, the offensive line had a bad night, but they're not a big picture. They're way down my list of concerns.
And to be fair, I mean, the secondary played awful, and I'm not arguing that, but where was all that pressure that we saw in Tampa?
100%.
Where were those defensive ends?
So, this is not letting the Patriots off the hook and giving them an excuse and saying, oh, well, they just went super vanilla, and that's why, the Lions beat them fair.
And we let them off the hook!
So, Lions beat them fair and square, so don't hear this wrong. Don't take this the wrong way. But I wonder if part of it is Belichick dialing back schematically, Kevin. And this is something I've spent a lot of time talking about on the program during the week, ESPN
so
Boston Radio from noon to two. Is how much does he really want to show in the preseason? I think that has a lot to do with why we haven't seen Haynesworth yet. I think it has a lot to do with why we haven't seen
Sean
Haynesworth
too.
Yet. I would say
you
less.
You think Sean Ellis is hurt?
I would say less in the case of Ellis.
Okay.
He's older, more miles on the tires, and I can see them wanting to take it slow with him. But Haynesworth, on the surf, why wouldn't you want him out? Why wouldn't you want him playing? He is a pivotal player in this defense, or has the potential to be a pivotal player in this defense. So for me, the only answer I can come up with, and again, I've talked about this a lot. You know, people say, well, his trial wrapped up, and then all of a sudden, he was right back out on the field. Well, yes and no. His trial was pending when he started practicing on the field as well. So for me, the big thing that changed with Albert Haynesworth is he was out for the first couple of days of training camp, where media has borderline unlimited access for the media here in New England. And what did they write about, Kevin? What did they write about how dominant Haynesworth looks? Here's how they're using him. He's playing next to Vince. And I don't know, part of me thinks that that got out, and Belichick said, you know what?
Let's pump the brakes.
Let's put the kibosh on this. Let's take Haynesworth out. Let's sit him down. And look, I don't think the trial was ideal either, but let's scale him back a little bit. And guess what? It wasn't just that the trial wrapped up on Monday, and then Haynesworth was back on the field the next day. You know what else was dialed back this week, Kevin? Was media access. Media access. I mean, essentially now, when you're out there for practice, I mean, training camp, you can see everything, just like the fans. You go out there, you can see all the drills, and, you know, you can look at either field, and you have a good idea for what's going on. You know what you don't have a good feel for is the Patriots during practice in the regular. You have no idea. All you get to know is who's out there stretching, essentially. That's basically all you get for media access. And guess what? Once the access was dialed back, Haynesworth was right back on the field, and I think it has a lot more to do with it. And it's all a long way of me saying, Kevin, that I wonder if schematically things were dialed back tonight. I didn't see Mayo blitzing as much. I didn't see as much from that front four out of the Patriots tonight. And again, I am not absolving them of guilt. They got it handed to them by the Lions tonight. Stafford played phenomenal. But what I'm saying is schematically were things dialed back a little bit tonight. And that's something that we can address throughout the week on ESPN Boston Radio, and something that we're going to be taking a look at on the Patriots.com postgame show. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's how you get in touch. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. And I don't know. I think there's I think that's part of it. I think part of it is dialing things back a little bit. Part of it is dialing things back a little bit for the Patriots tonight. And I certainly didn't see Mayo anywhere near as aggressive as he was last week. And why is that? Is it the matchup? Was Tampa and Josh Freeman, was that just a better matchup for this club to really bring the house? Did they see something from Josh Freeman on tape where they said, okay, well, maybe he's a little slower getting rid of the ball or whatever, and maybe they were more afraid of bringing the pressure on Stafford? Look, we'll give you Stafford's numbers again. He was excellent not only tonight but in the preseason, 12 of 14, 200 yards, two touchdowns, one each to Burleson and Scheffler.
For a rating of 158.3.
Yeah, he was excellent.
It was amazing.
And he's been awesome all preseason, Kevin. It's more of the same from this guy who was the number one overall pick a couple seasons ago.
I'm not even mad.
24-31, 356 yards, five touchdowns. So, again, I'm not letting the Patriots off the hook and saying, hey, they played against this good young quarterback. It's part of the narrative. And maybe part of the reason that we didn't see as much pressure is they wanted to sit back. And they said, you know what? This kid's been pretty damn good. So we can't bring the house after him like we did after Freeman. Maybe we got to sit back, drop more guys into coverage, and you know what? Didn't work tonight. The secondary, to me, was after the offensive line, they were a secondary concern, but they were right there on the list. And Kyle Arrington, who I thought had been pretty steady, and I think if you just look at the box score, you say, well, okay, he had a pick, he had a sack, he was productive. If you watch the game, he was toast all night. Same thing with Darius Butler. McCourty, I've said this a couple of times, McCourty was the tougher one for me to evaluate. And I feel like there's been one guy each week who's been like that for me. Week one, it was Hernandez. And people were crushing, oh, he put the ball on the ground, he fumbled twice, he recovered one. But Hernandez has been phenomenal these last two games. And I thought you saw the beginning of that in that first preseason game against Jacksonville. I thought week two, it was Stephen Ridley. He fumbled, but you know what? You got mostly good. Mostly good from Stephen Ridley in that game last week. And, of course, he didn't play tonight. And tonight, I kind of have McCourty in that category. I thought we saw some good. It was mostly bad from McCourty, but I thought there was some good, and he was far and away the best player in that secondary tonight. Give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Let's hit the phones and go to T-Man in Boston. You're next up here on the Patriots.com postgame show. What's up, T-Man?
How's it going, Pac-Man?
Doing excellent, man.
Just a little shout-out to Puma.
Excellent, excellent. I love the nickname. It's a great nickname.
Yeah, thank you. Well, he gave it to himself, so I don't know if we can really give him credit for it, but we will.
What's going on, T-Man?
Not much. I call myself the Finnsider. I'm a Dolphins fan. Looking forward to week one. I don't know how good the game will look for the Dolphins, but I felt like the middle of the Patriots defense was something that could be attacked tonight. I know you said you felt a little vanilla, but How do you feel about the matchup in week one?
Well, look, and T-Man, thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. I mean, yes, I think there's a chance that things were dialed back a little bit tonight for the Patriots. And I think they certainly blitzed less in this game. I think that was pretty apparent. Now, again, was it because the Patriots were dialing things back? They don't want as much tape to, I don't know. Or was it a matchup thing? And that's what I was just kind of getting into a few minutes ago. I don't know the answer to that. But I want to delve into that one a little further, because I wouldn't be surprised if schematically they dialed things back. And again, I can't say this enough. Not an excuse for the Patriots. They got it handed to them by the Lions tonight. So even if they did dial things back, you still got to execute in that scheme. It's not an excuse. I just think that they were much less aggressive on defense, and that was readily apparent. Now, as it pertains to the Dolphins week one, I don't know that you can read into this at all, because theoretically, week one, you're going to have Albert Haynesworth in the middle of that line. And Sean Ellis is going to be on that defensive line. So, I don't know. To me, it's like, yes, they look susceptible up the middle tonight, and they certainly didn't pressure Matt Stafford. But, you know, to me, they're going to look a lot different week one. And I still think with Albert Haynesworth, that is a case. That is a case of just bringing the guy along slow and scaling him back and not letting anybody know what you have. To me, that's totally the case with Albert Haynesworth. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. It is the Patriots.com postgame show with Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots fall to the Detroit Lions 34-10 tonight in ugly fashion. You've already heard from head coach Bill Belichick. You hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady next on the Patriots.com postgame show.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL Mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89155 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
What are you drinking?
I'm a college student, and I pretty much survive on Dunkin' iced coffee. During finals, it's the one thing that gets me through. When I'm cramming hundreds of pages of history all into one night, Dunkin' iced coffee keeps me going. So I can remember everything the next day when I take the exam. Then 5 minutes later, I forget it all.
When you need a boost, pick up a delicious Dunkin' iced coffee. America runs on Dunkin' coffee. Hey, what are you drinking?
Dunkin' iced coffee. Hazelnut with a little milk. As a teacher, I never know when something might go wrong. But I know my coffee will always be right. Just perfect.
Miss Johnson, Joey won't share.
Gotta go.
Today's lesson, America's favorite iced coffee is made any way you love it. Hurry in and grab one today. America runs on Dunkin' Coffee.
Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly brewed iced coffee. Always made exactly the way you want it. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Welcome back to the Patriots Postgame Show, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Welcome back to the Patriots.com postgame show with Adam Jones, going until a little after 1 o'clock here tonight on Patriots.com. Patriots do fall to the Detroit Lions 34-10 in Detroit. First loss of the preseason for New England. Started out 2-0, wins over Jacksonville and Tampa. You guys know the story. Aggregate score of 78-26 in those first two. And then they get it handed to them tonight. And the question for you on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can also email us, webradio, at Patriots.com. It's the third preseason game. Typically, it's the one that is treated most similarly to a regular season game, most closely resembles a regular season game. So do you put more stock in this loss than you do the two victories over Jacksonville and Tampa Bay? Again, you can give us a call, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. See, I don't put more stock in this one than I would in the two victories. No chance the offense looks this bad. And look, it's realistic to think that that Lions defense, or at least that defensive line, might be that good. And remember, they were shorthanded. Vandenbosch didn't even play. And Vandenbosch is not their best defensive lineman, but he's on the list. He's not Sue, but he's a good defensive lineman. So there's a chance that D-line gets better. But I just think the offense, not something I'd be worried about in general. I think the offense is closer to what we saw last week in Tampa. However, what would scare me, and what does scare me, is I think the defense is closer to what we saw tonight than what we saw last week in Tampa. And look, that's sort of the way I look at things. We do have an email from James to webradio@patriots.com. This is a different James than the last one we heard from, but also similarly concerned about the offensive line. This is James in Pittsburgh. Writes in, didn't the offensive line look like they were pushed around? I have more concerns about them than the defensive backfield, which looked confused and sloppy. How do we fix the O-line, and where was Gronk? That's James in Pittsburgh, writing into webradio@patriots.com. I'm surprised that Patriots fans are, and look, I think they had a terrible night, and I put them at the top of my list for a reason. I put them at the top of my list of concerns for a reason, because I thought they had a worse night than the secondary, all things considered. I think it was pretty clear that Brady couldn't set his feet, couldn't step up in the pocket, looked uncomfortable throughout the course of the night. So for me, they had a worse night, but big picture, I'm not as concerned about them as I am the secondary. Like right now, I know there was no Bodden tonight, but right now, is Arrington going to be your number two corner or Butler? I mean, you better hope not. You better hope Bodden comes back and plays solid football on the other side of McCourty, who had an up-and-down night. I still think I'd be way more concerned about the secondary than about the O-line. But Patriots fans concerned about the offensive line. And maybe some of it has to do with the way you were knocked out of the playoffs last year against the Jets. Or it's still the ghost from Super Bowl 42 against the Giants, whatever it is. There's some commonality in the playoff losses, and the offensive line is on that list. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us, webradio@patriots.com. I'm Adam Jones here on the Patriots.com postgame show. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You've already heard from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. Let's go to the podium where Patriots quarterback Tom Brady talked following the team's 34-10 loss in Detroit.
Well, it wasn't our best game, obviously. From the first series on, we just could never really get into a rhythm. It was just a bad night all around. I think it was, we don't make excuses for it. It just wasn't a good night. We didn't play the way we needed to play. Miss open receivers and, a careless interception there. I mean, you're not going to win games if you play like that. So there's only one way to get better. Let's get out to practice and get back to work. Try to improve the things that we didn't do very well, and hopefully play better next week.
You could tell their defense was hungry. They were coming after you pretty good. You were on your back a lot.
Well, I think we were trying to get the ball down the field a little bit. So you're going to hold it, and they have a good pass rush. We held up out there, for a decent amount of time. I got to do a better job making quicker decisions and getting rid of the football and getting into the guys. We can do something with it. Yeah, we still got to do a better job of that. There's no question. In practice it was better, but then you get on the game field where it actually means something. And, it didn't really show up tonight. So. Well, I don't necessarily think losing games and playing poorly ever helps. I think that we have to understand, like every week, when you play well, that there's things you need to do better. When you lose, there's things you need to do better, and you don't want to ride the wave of emotions of, oh, we're great and we suck, and we're great and we suck. And, we're confident as a team. We just got to go play better, and that's up to each of us individually. And coach always says, do your job. I mean, he means it. You know, when I'm the starting quarterback and he says, do your job, I could do it very well. And that's what he expects of me. And that's what I expect of myself. And we're going to get out there and try to do a lot better job.
You guys played these guys last year and pretty handled them pretty easily. I know it's only preseason, but can you tell that they're a different team than you, from what you've seen?
They're a good team. They were a good team when we played them last year. It was a close game until the fourth quarter. When we made a few plays there in the fourth quarter, we showed some resiliency. But they're a good team. They're good on defense. They play well offensively. They're very well coached. They're tough.
How can you keep Ocho going? You're sitting with him in the second half on the bench. You guys are sitting together talking a lot because I know his head's spinning trying to learn all this.
Sure, we communicate quite a bit. That's what it takes. I mean, he hasn't had the luxury of an off-season program that a lot of guys get, and so we're trying to really cram a lot of stuff in. But he's very receptive to it. He's very competitive. He wants to do the right thing. He wants to do it well, as we all do. So that's what we're working toward. And I wish I could say we'd go out there and everything would be perfect every single game that we play, and every snap, every drive we'd score a touchdown, and we'd never have negative plays. But, you know, look, it's football. And when you make a bad play, you got to overcome it. And there's resiliency that comes into this game and mental toughness. Those are all the things you're trying to build on as a team, trying to figure out what kind of team you're at. And things don't go, they don't start well. Well, we got to figure out a way to turn it around. And when practices don't go well at the start of practice, you got to find a way to turn those and make them into good practices. And you string those good practices together, and you're going to have a good week. But, you know, if one bad drive leads to a bad quarter, which leads to a bad half, which leads to a bad game, you're never going to win games because you always have adversity in this game. So we've always got to find ways individually, collectively, as an offense and defensive units, and ultimately as a team, for us to strive to perform at a high level. And if it doesn't go well, to try even harder and turn it around. So that's really what... You know, we're gonna work toward. We got a few weeks to the opener. Hopefully, we're making a lot of improvements. We got a big week coming up this week. See what we can do against the Giants. We'll see. I mean, I'm not sure, but he's a tough guy. I mean, there's nobody tougher than Wes Welker. He's mentally, physically, he's as good as there is. So he's he's a big part of our offense. He's a huge part of our offense. Yeah, I hope so. I'd love for us to get out there and play a lot better than we play tonight. So there's going to be a lot of us that are itching to get back out on the field. And after days like this, you want to get back out on the practice field. So you can see the film and figure out what the technique errors, the decision-making errors, and then make those a point emphasis so you can come out and try to practice better. And then when you get out in the game, actually have it show up during the game. So it'll be it'll be good to get out and practice and try to go out there and do a better job. Thanks, guys.
All right, that was Patriots quarterback Tom Brady at the podium following the Patriots 34-10 loss to the Detroit Lions tonight in Detroit. And look, just to catch you up to speed on a few things he said, he talked about dealing with Chad Ochocinco and didn't exactly address the fact that they're not on the same page or acknowledge the fact that they're not on the same page, but did acknowledge that they gotta improve, they gotta make strides, and it's not perfect now, and he acknowledged as much. So it was somewhat of an admission from Tom Brady, and look, it's apparent. I mean, he doesn't need to admit it, it's apparent. If you're watching the games, if you watched last week against Tampa, they weren't on the same page. I know Ocho caught a touchdown, it was like Welker's touchdown tonight, right? And we'll get to Welker in a second. Like, Welker was so open, it was busted coverage. And credit Welker for making the catch, but other than that, there was nobody within 10 yards of him. Same thing with Ocho last week on the touchdown. So it's apparent they're not on the same page. And Brady acknowledged that he's going to continue to work with Ocho. But 2 weeks, we've seen Brady and Ocho not on the same page. Is that starting to be a concern for you on the A's Ticket Hotline? 508-298-0398. You can send your emails to webradio@patriots.com. To me, I kind of thought they'd make strides tonight. So it's more concerning for me this week than it was coming into this game. Also, and you heard Brady touch on this, Wes Welker, who by all accounts is quote-unquote okay. He told that to the Boston Herald tonight, says he will not need a neck brace. So that's all good news about Welker, who left the game tonight with a neck injury. The fact that he was just talking to reporters, for me, is a great sign. even if he didn't say anything. If he was just seen, that would have been a good thing in the post-game locker room. And not only that, he talked with reporters as well. And you heard Brady say tonight, nobody tougher than Wes Welker.
Everyone sucks but me.
And I think a lot of Patriots fans know that. Given how he came back last season from his knee injury at the end of the regular season 2 years ago against the Texans. I think a lot of Patriots fans already know that. So the fact that he's going to be back out there, that should be the biggest takeaway, because that had a chance to be a scary storyline for the Patriots if Welker was hurt. You have heard from Coach Bill Belichick. You've heard from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. You'll also hear from Patriots.com's Andy Hart coming up here in about 15 minutes. We'll have Andy Hart in studio get his thoughts on the game tonight, a 34-10 loss for the New England Patriots. Let's hit the phones. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Let's go to Daniel out in California. What's going on, Daniel?
What's going on, New England?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys doing?
Doing excellent. What were your thoughts on the game tonight?
My thoughts on the game were the O-line. The O-line did not get that push that I've seen before they got to the playoffs with the Jets. They were more back blocking than they were pushing forward.
Is that your biggest concern from the loss tonight, the offensive line?
Yep.
See, for me, Daniel, and thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398, and then I didn't mean to cut you off. What were you saying?
Most of our players were back in Foxborough.
So
to give this type of effort, yeah, I mean, it's cool. But
you're talking about the defense, Daniel?
Yeah.
The defense and the offense. Daniel, I did this with a caller earlier. I didn't hear a lot of people talking about how Albert Haynesworth and Sean Ellis were back in New England following the way the defense played against Tampa Bay. The defense was dominating there, and they had most of the same players here tonight that they had in that Tampa game, minus guys like Dane Fletcher who were hurt in that game.
Right.
So, you know, for me, it's hard for me to sit here and say, well, half the defense was back in New England. I wasn't saying that last week when, you know, they just continued to turn Tampa Bay over and force three and outs.
What I mean is that you got Falk sitting back there in Foxborough.
Sure.
You got, why didn't they play Price with more?
Well, so they did, and Daniel, thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can give us a call back anytime on the Patriots.com postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You know, Price did play with Brady, and that's part of the reason why I said earlier I thought Edelman did a nice job earning him spot on the team tonight. And Brandon Tate, if I'm him, we talked about this a lot after the first game against the Jags, I'm sweating it out. Not only because Edelman replaced him with a 32-yard kickoff return and a 26-yard punt return, which, by the way, set up that Welker touchdown, but Taylor Price was the fourth receiver in the game tonight. He was in there after Ocho, Welker, and Branch. He was the next guy in there working with Brady.
Yeah.
That's not a great sign for Brandon Tate.
No. And Price didn't really show us anything tonight.
Didn't do squat. He was targeted on one play.
After he had a good game.
Didn't do anything. Missed the block as well. But, no, I mean, he didn't show anything. But
Price was not right tonight.
Not at all. But depth chart-wise, Kevin, he was in the game ahead of Brandon Tate. So, you know, for me, that's a bad sign. All things considered, not a good night for Brandon Tate. Let's hit the emails, webradio@patriots.com. Blake writes in from Southern California. A lot of California listeners, Kevin.
Yeah, it's nice and early out there.
That is true.
I think that's what's causing this.
Got to be part of it here on the Patriots.com postgame show. Yeah. Blake writes in from Southern Cal. Guys, felt like the Thanksgiving game from last season. No second half turnaround. But I'd like to think that if Brady and company stayed in during the second half.
It's my Thanksgiving sound effect. Busting it out early this year.
That was your turkey?
It's my galloping goblin.
Gotcha. There just needed to be a point where the Patriots would turn things around eventually. And he's saying, look, if Brady stayed in the second half, it got so bad, the only place to go would be up. The offensive line would finally pick up some blocks. Defense would finally stop a cheap screen and not let it go for 50 yards and put some pressure on Stafford. And by the way, this was on my list as well. That screen play to, who was it, Jerome Harrison?
I think so.
That was all Ninkovich. No backside contain on that play. And that was something I wrote down early on.
You mean Rob Ninkovich?
Ninkovich, yeah.
Yes.
If Randy Cross were doing the game, yes.
Or John Cricky.
Rod Ninkovich. It was the second drive. It was a 52-yard reception by Jerome. No backside contain by Rob Ninkovich. And normally he's just so sound. He's so solid on plays like that. That was right to Ninkovich's side. So, look, there were so many other bad things that one was way down my list, but it's on the list.
It was just a bad night.
No contain. No contain by Ninkovich.
It's crummy out. We got a hurricane. The team got whooped. It's not good. We're sweating in here. It's like 95 degrees.
It is hot. It is hot.
People trying to work on the
in these Subway Fresh broadcast studios. Not gonna lie, it is.
Damn,
it's like
country music.
It's like the Subway.
Festival.
It's like the oven at
There's
Subway.
Too much
is what
going
it is
on
in
right
here.
Now. Too much negative energy.
But Blake continues. Positive from the defense, I thought, where there were no inside runs from the Lions. When they tried to go up the middle, they were stuffed for the most part. And at the end of the day, it's the preseason. Still, big fat slice of humble pie. And I agree with that from Blake in Southern Cal, writing into Web Radio at Patriots.com. Hey, maybe it's not the worst thing in the world. Like, maybe this loss, the way you lost to an up-and-coming team, a team that you have a bit of a chippy history with, Thanksgiving game last year, tonight, maybe ain't the worst thing in the world. Now, I'm certainly not absolving them and saying it's a good thing, but, you know, maybe you didn't want to cruise through the preseason blowing teams out, you know, by an aggregate score of 78-26 like you did over Jacksonville and Tampa Bay. Maybe you don't need to do that. So that's the only silver lining I could take out of this. That's it. I mean, other than that, I thought Hernandez and Edelman looked good, and I squeezed Gostkowski on there because I want three guys. But other than that, there wasn't a lot of good in this game tonight. Let's go back to the phones. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Jim is in Norwood. And you're next up here on the Patriots.com postgame show. What's up, Jim?
Yeah, Adam. Hey, really appreciate you guys. Great show today. Braving the hurricane. It's great to be able to talk with you guys.
Appreciate it, man. What's going on?
So I'm starting to get really concerned about Ocho Cinco and kind of part comment slash question here. I guess the first part is that, you know, obviously with a compressed offseason, how quickly is he going to be able to catch up to the offense? Because it doesn't look very good right now. I mean, we've seen talented receivers like Joey Galloway fail in the past to try to pick up this offense. And then I guess the second part of that question, and perhaps even the more concerning part, as we saw in that interception right before halftime from Brady, you know, do we get concerned about him trying to force the ball to Ocho Cinco like he did to Randy Moss last year at the beginning of the season that ends up hurting this offense?
So, Jim, we'll start with the second point first. And thanks for the phone call at 508-298-0398. We'll address that second point first. Is Chad Ocho Cinco the kind of guy that Brady needs to force the ball to? My sense on that would be no. My sense on that is he's not Randy Moss.
Great cash, homie.
Not Randy Moss. So I don't think that Brady's going to feel the need to really pepper the ball into Chad Ocho Cinco. And my sense on Ocho is that despite all of his antics, he's going to be a little more open to, if they're winning, to not need the targets. But I do think it's a fair question, because if anybody needs the targets on this team, or if anybody would be an issue, it would be Ocho Cinco. And was Brady forcing that interception into Ocho Cinco at the end of the half? I think absolutely. Now, he had some pressure at his feet, and he certainly had to get rid of the football, but it's fair to say he forced that ball into Ocho. And is he trying to force the ball Ocho's direction to get him on the same page and get him to feel like he's a part of this offense? I think that's a totally fair question. I don't think it's Randy Moss, but I think it's a fair question. Now, the first part of the question was, are we going to see issues, especially in a shortened preseason, with Ocho learning the offense like Torrey Holt did, as you said, Kevin, or like, as the caller cited, Joey Galloway?
Yep.
Again, I don't think so. I'd like to think that he has a lot more in the tank than those other two guys, but look, we've seen it before.
Does
Kevin,
he have
we've
it between the years, though?
I do think so.
You
I
think
do.
So?
How do him and Belichick have such a kinship if Belichick thought he was just some idiot receiver?
I don't know. I mean, Belichick could just be amused by him.
Do you think so, though?
Could happen.
Like, do you think that's so? It could. Sure, anything could happen. But is that what you think?
No.
Because I don't either.
No, you got me.
I think in terms of, and I don't mean to get you.
No, you got me.
What I'm saying is, I don't think Belichick would take an affinity to someone like Chad Ocho Cinco if he didn't think the football knowledge was there. And I don't want to downplay the learning the playbook. I don't want to downplay that. But he should be able to figure it out. And, you know, that had nothing to do with him dropping a pass from Brian Hoyer, right, Kevin?
No.
Like, that throw was right on the money. It was just a drop by Ocho. Exactly,
too.
Exactly. Which means he's in the right spot, which means there's something going on in his head. I think it's less his ability to pick up the playbook or his mental aptitude. I think it's less that, and I just think it's more that he's putting a lot of pressure on himself. And he's trying to fit into a winning organization. He hasn't been a part of one of those. And I think that's more what it is. He's putting that pressure on himself, or he feels the external pressure on himself, one or the other. I think it's less that than his football aptitude.
And let's go beyond the affinity here for Ocho Cinco. It's, does Belichick part with that, what, $4.85 million if you were to cut him? And I don't think the answer.
So, again, I don't think that's the case either.
He puts that on the line.
It's not a
Joey, he doesn't put a chunk of money like that on the line if he doesn't think he
It's not
play.
A Joey Galloway, Torrey Holt contract, A.
No.
And we haven't had a Brady Galloway moment
and
yet
as
either.
As you said, he's a lot younger than those guys, and he has more in the tank.
Well, and just, you heard Brady at the podium. And look, we haven't seen much of this on the sidelines. I know Belichick talked to Ocho a little bit last week in the Tampa game.
Yep.
But for the most, we haven't seen Brady air out Ocho like we saw him air out Galloway last year. Like, we haven't had a moment like that. And I know that came in the regular season, so maybe it's coming. Maybe we'll see it at some point.
I just get concerned with, you look at a guy like Ocho Cinco and look at his flamboyant personality over the course of the time he's been in the league, and he's been in the league for a while now. He's been in the league for over a decade. And then for him all of a sudden to show up here and just turn it off with the snap of a finger. You know what I mean? And just, it just, it feels funny. And then when you're looking at him on the sideline and you're looking at him
in
the locker room.
So what are you saying? If he's not celebrating and he's not the guy with all the swagger, he can't be, he can't be the same type of receiver?
It's not even the swagger.
Cause I like that. That's a take right there, Kevin. If that's where you're going, that's a take. Can't deconstruct the wide. If you deconstruct and take the diva out of the receiver, maybe you get a different kind of receiver. Is that part of it?
How long has he been like that? It's not like he just came into the league and, you know, he has been Ocho Cinco / Chad Johnson / whatever the heck you want to call him, playing soccer, riding bulls, doing whatever the heck he's going to do for the majority of his life, not only his NFL career. And then all of a sudden you expect him to conform to Coach Belichick's regime, if you will.
Like he said it last week, right? I'm in New England now.
It's not even like I expect him to just, it's not like you expect him to just not be a person. He just feels like he's a robot now.
So,
and it just doesn't feel right.
I like it, Kevin. Hot take.
I think you can have a happy medium between having some personality, a.k.a. Rob Gronkowski, for example. You can have some personality but be intelligent about what you say to the media and about what you do on the football field.
Is part of, I don't know, is he feeling suffocated or part of dialing back his personality? Are we seeing that trickle over onto the football field?
Here's my worry.
I like it, Kevin. I like it.
It's not even the suffocation. It's just him being
reserved.
He just looks. I'll put it this way: if I thought he was, if he looked happy and was kind of holding in the exuberance, fine. But he just genuinely looks disturbed, disgruntled, confused, maybe even frustrated.
I would go more with the confused, or timid than I would disgruntled. No, he doesn't look like an upset player to me.
But that glazed over. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Like, it just looks like there's nothing behind the eyes. It's just like a robot.
You deconstruct the diva. You deconstruct the attitude from the wide receiver, and maybe this is what you get. Maybe you get a timid player on the field when you take away the swagger. I think that's at least worth raising the question.
It's like when you go to prison and they quote unquote break you down.
I've not been.
I haven't been yet, I'm going to say. But I mean, they so-called break you down and then they build you up as a, you know, supposedly better human being or a reformed citizen. And that's what I feel like it's almost happening to Ocho Cinco.
Fair question. We ask it to you. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. You think there's something to that? You take the swagger and the attitude away from Chad Ocho Cinco. Is that part of the reason being suffocated or at least being repressed a little bit here in New England? And I think that's fair to say in terms of how outgoing he's been. Is that part of the reason that we see a timid receiver on the football field? I think it's at least a fair question to ask or something to investigate. Let's hit the emails, webradio@patriots.com. Josiah writes in, Adam, you concerned with the fact that Deion Branch has been completely unheard of this preseason? I would say no. And the reason I say that is because Branch wasn't here to start the season last year. Branch wasn't even in New England. And he came in and picked up right where he left off, just like it was still 2005. You know, just like he had never left, just like he was still the Super Bowl MVP. So to me, I don't think Branch is exactly somebody who needs a lot of reps in the preseason to get on the same page with Tom Brady. Sure, it would be better if he were making catches and showing up at some point in the preseason. But you know what? If the Patriots need Deion Branch, I'm confident that he knows what Tom Brady wants from him in the offense. And I'm confident that Branch hasn't lost a step, still knows how to run routes. Sure, he wasn't even targeted tonight. And I would readily admit that that's not ideal. But again, he wasn't even here last offseason or the first 4 weeks of the regular. He wasn't even here. And he picked everything up by the end of the season. He was right back just like he was still a Super Bowl MVP. I think he can do that without getting a lot of burn in the preseason or a lot of targets in the preseason. I don't think him and Tom Brady are going to have much of an issue of getting on the same page. It is the Patriots.com postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's how you get in touch. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. or you can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Coming up next, we'll talk to Andy Hart of Patriots.com, get his thoughts on the Patriots' 34-10 defeat in Detroit. That's next, Patriots.com postgame show.
What are you drinking?
I'm a college student, and I pretty much survive on Dunkin' Iced Coffee. During finals, it's the one thing that gets me through. When I'm cramming hundreds of pages of history all into one night, Dunkin' Iced Coffee keeps me going. So I can remember everything the next day when I take the exam. Then 5 minutes later, I forget it all.
When you need a boost, pick up a delicious Dunkin' Iced Coffee. America runs on Dunkin' Coffee. Hey, what are you drinking?
Dunkin' Iced Coffee. Hazelnut with a little milk. As a teacher, I never know when something might go wrong. But I know my coffee will always be right. Just perfect.
Miss Johnson, Joey won't share.
Gotta go.
Today's lesson, America's favorite iced coffee is made any way you love it. Hurry in and grab one today. America runs on Dunkin' Coffee.
Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly brewed iced coffee. Always made exactly the way you want it. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL Mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
So, Carly.
Yeah?
Just a heads up. This Angus burger right here, I love it. So, I tend to stop talking when I eat it. I don't want you to think I'm ignoring you. It's just I'll be checked out for 3 or 4 minutes.
Wait, what? I kind of stop listening when I eat a Big Mac.
I love you.
The classic, one-of-a-kind taste of the Big Mac sandwich and the big, bold taste of the Angus Third Pounder. So much flavor, you'll want to take your time with them. McDonald's, the simple joy of burgers. At participating McDonald's.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette, go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo, and you are listening to the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones and Patriots.com Radio.
Patriots fall to the Lions 34-10 tonight in Detroit. after a few offensive explosions against the Jaguars and Tampa Bay. Not exactly the effort a lot of Patriots fans were looking for. It is the Patriots.com post-game show. Adam Jones live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. We'll continue to hear from you, 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can also email us, webradio at patriots.com. I've kind of been trying to tick my way through this loss, but, you know, it's a simplistic view on the game. Let's be honest. Let's welcome in a couple experts here from patriots.com. Andy Hart and Paul Perillo joining us
you
here
should
in
know
studio.
I got a little wiener.
Well, joining us here in studio.
That was a little bit uncalled for.
You know what? Seriously. Kevin the Puma, he's been a little rude tonight.
Sheesh. The Puma.
Been a little rude tonight. Yeah, we found out his nickname's the Puma. You guys unaware of this?
No.
Kevin, you want to explain yourself?
We have nicknames that really aren't suitable for the air.
Yeah, no.
It's another kind of cat.
Rhymes with wussy.
No, people think I look like Lance Bergman, so you start calling me Puma.
And Lance Bergman's nickname is the Big Puma.
Didn't know that.
Who knew? See? Who knew? So things we learned about
too
Kevin
much,
Collins.
Too much sports science.
It's like those NBA nicknames that Andy always teaches me about. I go, they call him that?
It's probably more entertaining for Patriots fans if we talk about this than the game because
Then Kevin Collins' nickname. So look, what's the bigger takeaway for you guys tonight? Because for me, I was looking at it and I've been going back and forth. The more concerning thing for me, the offensive line or the secondary tonight?
Offensive line. Because I would say the reason is Vollmer. And we saw him start slow last year and he kind of turned it around, was better late in the year, but if you have questions at left tackle, you know, Vollmer's supposed to be the sure thing. And if you have a question at right guard, especially now with Conley getting banged up in the game and already struggling a little bit early on, now the offensive line just feels kind of unsettled, more unsettled than you want it to be with the regular season a week away. So I'm concerned a little bit about that offensive line.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the line was the bigger problem tonight. But defensively, you know, and I don't want to get lost too much in a preseason game, but it was more than just the secondary tonight, too. A lot of that pressure that we saw in the first two games was lacking tonight. I thought they had, in the first half, two blitzes that were solid. You know, one, Arrington came out of the slot, got a sack on Stafford on the third down play to force a punt. Excellent scheme, excellent execution. And then later, Jerod Mayo came free right up the gut and buried Stafford as he threw, but he couldn't prevent the completion. Other than that, I didn't see anybody really around Stafford. Now, there were some periods of pressure later in the game when the backups were in. But, again, I don't want to get too lost in it. It's a preseason game, just like you don't want to get too excited over the dominance in Tampa Bay a week earlier. But a lot of that stuff, a lot of those schemes that we saw weren't anywhere near as effective tonight.
So why would that be?
It's a great question. I don't know if they dialed anything back. It didn't look like they did. It looked like there was times that, you know, Mayo in particular was coming on some blitzes that were successful last week and weren't this week. I'm also a little disappointed in some of the personnel that didn't get a chance to get out there tonight. I was hopeful that, some of the veteran guys who had been slow to get back to practice, they all had three practices under their belt this week, but not a lot of them played. You know, Haynesworth, Sean Ellis, the rookies, Dowling, Vereen, and guys like that. So, yeah, it was a little disappointing for me on that end as well. But a specific answer as to why, you know, I think if Bill knew that, I don't think he would have 16 different ways in the post game explained how badly they got outplayed, outcoached, and out-executed.
But you don't either, Andy, think they dialed anything back
no,
this week?
No.
Did it look to you?
I think they got beat. I mean, Andre Carter, I'm waiting for him to show up.
Yeah.
As much as he was a force last week and didn't show up in the stat book, he didn't show up at the game today. I mean, literally, you didn't see him. He wasn't a factor. And to me, that's just a guy that I was thinking, okay, this guy can be a force. This guy doesn't, you know, that's not a blitz. That's your defensive end winning some battles against a left tackle. He wasn't doing that tonight like he did last week. You know, to me, this was the polar opposite of last week. This was just a butt whooping on all phases. Tom Brady played the role of Josh Freeman, where he was running for his life most of the night, getting banged around a little bit. The timing was completely thrown off on the offense. And then defensively, you know, they didn't do anything. They just got pushed around. It's like they were the team that wasn't ready. The Gerald McCoy last week, you know, Mr. Brady, can we just line up and play? This was Matthew Stafford running the no huddle, and the Patriots just seemed ill-equipped to deal with it. I just thought Bill was right. Sometimes I think he goes overboard with his whole, we couldn't tackle, we couldn't block, we couldn't catch. Well, tonight that was all accurate, right down to, as he said, the returns. I mean, you're getting kickoff returns where you get to the 13-yard line. That's how bad it is. It's supposed to be assumed this day and age you're going to get to the 20 no matter what with this new rule. I mean, everything that could go wrong, essentially, was crappy.
Yeah, it was, you know, at one point about, well, it was still early in the first quarter. It was only about halfway through the first quarter. I looked at Andy and I said, you know, if this were a regular season game, you'd almost say the Patriots were patrioted. I mean, Detroit did exactly what New England has done so many times in the past. They had the quick tempo offense. They were in and out of the huddle. Sometimes they went hurry up, no huddle at all. Defensively, they were applying pressure. It looked like they were confusing the Patriots. Andy, you mentioned the Dan Conley injury. When he went out, Rich Ornberger went in, and you know, and I know it's a huge task to ask one of your backup guards to get up against Sue, but there was one play he didn't even get a hand on him on a screen pass. And, you know, listen, these are guys that are going to have to play, I would think, at some point. At some point you're going to need some backups to come in and play. And this is a guy in Ornberger that's been around a couple of years now. I don't know what Ryan Wendell's situation is physically. He's missed an awful lot of training camp time. But some of these guys might be called upon to play, and it wasn't pretty tonight. And Andy's right. It was from a physical standpoint. They lined up, and they were outplayed.
So I thought Seuss mentioned it at halftime. He said, you know, we wanted to continue what we had started last Thanksgiving Day, and they kind of failed there where they got to the third quarter, fourth quarter, they faded. They ended up getting blown out on paper. But they were in that game. They were taking it to the Patriots
early in that
game.
Brady mentioned that during his post game as well.
And I thought the Lions did pick up on that. I mean, they picked up where they left off, and maybe they treated this game with a little more importance. You know, it's hard to get inside the mentality of a team heading into a preseason game, especially a veteran team, a Belichick coach team, everything. But they didn't show up to play. That was the bottom line for me.
And I'll tell you, you know, something that, you know, I might be guilty of hyperbole and a little bit of an overreaction based on
0-16?
No, based on the time of year. But to me, Andy, this is another team. And you mentioned the Thanksgiving game, and now it's the same team tonight. What is the one thing consistently defensively that has bothered the Patriots in the last, say, 3 or 4 years?
Pressure.
But what kind of pressure?
Defensive line pressure up the middle.
Nothing fancy.
Sean Ellis.
Four different guys that can get after the quarterback. It's not schemes. It's not, you know, it's not just Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis, although they've had success getting after the quarterback too. But it's a front four that doesn't have to blitz and stunt and scheme to get pressure. I mean, that's as bad a secondary as you're going to see, Detroit. That's a terrible secondary. We talked in our pregame show on the pregame social with the gentleman from the Detroit News, Tim, what was that, 20
20 men.
And he went on and on about how bad their secondary was. And, you know, that really wasn't exposed tonight, save for one play when they just forgot to cover Wes Welker because Brady didn't have any time. I'm a little concerned about that because it seems on a consistent basis these teams that can get pressure with four guys can really throw a monkey wrench into this offense.
And that's why I said the offense is supposed to be the given. We're supposed to say, okay, it's Brady, whoever, it's Ocho Cinco, it's not Ocho Cinco, whatever, they're going to roll out of bed and score 24, 28 points a week. If this starts to creep in that pressure is an issue, and even against Tampa, after they had kind of had their way the first three series, they started to get to Brady's legs. They started to get a little bit of pressure. They started to hit him a little bit. So that's something that bears watching moving forward.
Would you put more stock in this loss tonight or the first two wins?
Neither. I just, it's all preseason. But to me, you're looking at some of the matchups and just some of the physical things. That's why I talk about Vollmer just getting beat. You know, you don't want to see him getting beat. I don't care who it is. You don't want to see your right tackle, who's supposedly a second team all pro, getting beat. And Andre Carter on the other side of the ball, if I'm going to assume he's going to be a, you know, factor in 10
Andy
or 15
games. Andy and I had him as a
games,
defensive player of the year candidate last week.
Well, then I want to see him win, even if he's not a dominant force throughout a game, once, twice in a game, show up. Show me that first step. Beat a tackle. Didn't happen tonight. Mayo was the only guy who I thought tonight on the defense was a portion of what he was last week when the whole defense was dominant. I thought he had the blitz where he got the hit. He was around the ball a little bit, had the chance for an interception. You know, he was making some plays. He was in the area. Not too many other guys on that defense were.
No, and I'm not diminishing the Tampa Bay win because it was so impressive and so dominant. But, you know, when you follow it up with basically the polar opposite game tonight, you almost have to chalk it up as a wash. Maybe they caught Tampa a little off guard. Maybe the Patriots were caught a little off guard tonight by Detroit. So you ask me what more – I mean, I think the Patriots are a pretty good football team. I don't think tonight's indicative of what you're going to see in the regular season consistently. But at the same time, enough cause for concern with some individual things that you saw.
Have you picked your nits yet?
Yeah, I ran through them. You want to hear them?
Hot takes, fresh takes, what do you call them?
The,
sub, you say that name in the studio, all different. It's the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios.
You emphasize the fresh, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, he does. It's not good, but that's what he does.
We have hot takes because it's swelteringly hot.
Hot takes, fresh takes,
Subway, we sweat them out.
Plus, we had Hooter Girls out here earlier.
I heard about this. I missed out on all of them. I had a whole storyline ready to go.
He was out there having beers with them.
I had a whole Kenny Chesney brother or agent. I was going with one or the other. I couldn't decide which
agent.
Way to go. Yeah, you think so?
That's a good one. You're getting a good percentage of Kenny Chesney's coin.
I'll go with that. But, I mean, the obvious nits to pick, O-line was terrible.
Yep.
Secondary wasn't much better. And the other thing is Brady and Ocho, again, not on the same page.
That's the one I wanted to get to. You got me there. Paul thinks that's a big concern. I do not as of yet. But the longer it goes, the more concerned I'll be. But the physical, again, he just drops a pass that I don't, you would have caught it. Paul would have caught it. Kevin would have caught it. We all would have caught it.
Wow. And good hands.
I don't know what to make of that because I find it hard to believe. You know, everybody's giving him the benefit of the doubt. He's learning the offense. It's a struggle. They went from the numbering system in Cincinnati to all the verbiage here and you got to learn it all and all. Well, that was a play where he broke open. He was wide open. Hoyer throws the ball. And he just doesn't catch it. There was nothing to think about there. You should be beyond the point. That was the jugs machine on the practice field after practice. Just a perfect throw hit you dead in the hands, and you didn't catch it. I don't know what to make of that.
Let me ask you guys a question. Sticking with the wide receivers, Deion Branch has been just an absolute non-factor so far. Is there any concern there?
Yes. I don't know how
is he open, or are they not emphasizing
in three
what's
games,
going on?
He doesn't have a reception. I believe he's been targeted once. All preseason.
Was not targeted tonight.
No, I know he wasn't targeted tonight. I believe one target in the first preseason game. That's concerning. The offense, maybe it's just they're looking more to go to Ocho to try to get him involved, and we know what Branch is. But, that's concerning. Welker has been himself. It's been Wes Welker the last couple weeks. The first throw last week, boom, boom, moving all around the field. He had the touchdown tonight. It's concerning that this offense isn't clicking because when it's clicking, if it's going to click at its best, it's going to be Ocho and Branch that are part of it.
So the thing that concerns me or would concern me is are they forcing the ball to Ocho or looking that way too much? But I wouldn't be concerned about Branch's production. I mean, he hasn't been targeted, but we saw him come in last week out of how many years out of this offense, and he doesn't need the reps with
right.
Brady necessarily.
And he's had a good camp. I think he's looked
he's
very
had a
good
terrific,
on the practice field.
Terrific camp.
So but, I am not as concerned with his lack of production.
I wouldn't say concerned. I just don't think it's ideal.
Yeah, I'm not as concerned about him and Ocho. To me, they're two totally different elements. I'm wondering if Branch is open. I'm wondering if he's presenting himself as an option or if Brady is saying to himself, I know what I got there. I need to figure out what I have elsewhere. But at the same time, Welker's getting targeted pretty frequently in these two games by Brady.
And Hernandez.
And Hernandez, 8 targets tonight, 5 catches. He was one of the few bright spots offensively. I thought he made some bailout plays, I thought, for Brady on plays that he had no time to throw and he just kind of got rid of them. One, he made a nice one-handed catch on a dump off. I just don't know what Deion Branch stands right now.
In terms of guys who help themselves the most in securing a spot on the roster, who is at the top of the list for you?
I think Sergio Brown might be up there. He's a guy that has been getting reps in training camp. I think he led the game in tackles tonight for the Patriots defense, getting more run. And this tonight was James Sanders came back, so you had another guy ahead of him kind of on the depth chart. But he was still out there throwing his body around. On the contrary to that, ahead of Bo, who I think those guys are in the same mix, backup safety / special teamers, he had some opportunities to make some plays and didn't. So I think Sergio Brown is making a nice little run at the roster for a second year here as an undrafted player.
Yeah, and I'll give you another guy, and Andy's going to make fun of me because it'll be on the negative side. I don't come up with the positive side.
That's just how I look at things through, positive. Rosy glasses.
Glass half full.
Yeah. Sure.
Darius Butler is, had another opportunity tonight where he had a couple of plays early, I thought, in the run game, making tackles. He's not known as a very physical corner. I thought he did a nice job, made a great play to save a touchdown on that long screen pass early in the game did a great job of chasing that play down from behind. And then later he gets called for a penalty when he was in perfect position, and I thought just got a little bit too aggressive with his hands. And then the touchdown he gives up, he is right in the receiver's shirt. He's in perfect position. We've seen it time and time again on the practice field. He doesn't make the play. It's 3 years in now. I'm just wondering if there's going to be enough time. He played an awful lot of football tonight. He played pretty much wire to wire. Jonathan Wilhite's a guy who I think he is fighting with for maybe only one spot out of those two. He leaves the game tonight with an injury. Well, an apparent injury anyway. I don't think they ever announced anything. Didn't remember him coming back in the game. Nope. I'm wondering where those guys stand. I'm wondering where the depth is in the secondary in general, but cornerback in particular. A lot of these frontline guys were playing well into the fourth quarter tonight, and, you know, that's not necessarily the way you want to draw it.
Well, and the depth is a major issue because, you know, I think we all felt Bodden's back. Okay, you have two solid corners. Then you have Arrington, who looked like he's been next in line. Well, Bodden, right. Dowling didn't play tonight. Bodden didn't play tonight. Arrington got absolutely embarrassed, undressed out there a couple different times, looked terrible.
Tough night
in the slot.
And
McCourty looked terrible, who's supposed to be the sure thing. So all of a sudden, you know, you're feeling pretty good about the top of the cornerback depth chart. And I don't feel so good anymore about tonight.
How much would you read into Brandon Tate getting replaced on kickoffs and Taylor Price coming in with the offense before he did?
A lot. You know, I think Taylor Price, although it may not have been his best performance tonight, I think the fact that Brandon Tate has continued, well, first of all, he was hurt. Now he gets on the field and he struggled on the returns, which he was kind of doing later in the year last year. He'd lost the spark. We joked there was one tonight, one of the punts he returned. He must have taken seven steps without actually moving.
I don't want to see him
left,
punts
right,
anymore.
Back, forth, left, right, back, forth, and was in the exact same spot. And all that did was allow the coverage guys to get, you know, 10 yards closer to him. Yeah. So I think he is, because if he's not valuable as a returner, he has shown nothing in the passing game. He's a guy that, you know, even tonight I joked he didn't line up properly. Then they tried to throw him the ball. The whole timing just looked off. I just don't think he's a natural wide receiver. I don't think he's polished in that area. And I think in terms of the receiver saying he's a guy that could develop, I think it's time that ship has passed to move on. And I think Taylor Price still has an upside there.
And I really, really like Edelman, his ability to run with the football. I think as a receiver, as a return guy, both on kicks and punts, I want to have more opportunities to get the ball in his hands because I think that, and he uses the word special all the time, but he has a dynamic presence, I think, with his cuts, his ability to break tackles and make guys miss. Has been impressive. I'm sort of ready to cut ties with the Brandon Tate experiment. I think he did a nice job early last year on those two kickoffs, but I think that the dirty little secret is that he wasn't all that effective overall. He had two big plays. Andy, what did the Patriots finish? What did he finish?
18. The Patriots finished 18th
in kick
returns. Well, the two were what? The first game of the year and the fourth game of the year.
He had a touchdown.
And one of them, if you remember, he had his little hop, step, giddy up thing where it was just luck. There was no doubt in my mind it was just luck. It was just one of those plays, threw the timing off, and he just happened to have a touchdown.
And I've seen nothing from him as a wide receiver. Nothing. I like Taylor Price, even though it looks like that's still a process, too. We talk a lot about Ocho getting on the same page. Clearly, Price and Brady are still working to find that rapport, too. They talked for a while tonight after that play where it looked like he wanted Price to come back for the ball on an underthrown, you know, back shoulder kind of play. And he didn't, but I've seen more from Price on the practice field as a receiver than I have from Tate, and I'd like to see them go in that direction. And yes, your question, was it telling? I think it was telling that Price is out there with the first string, you know, the first unit offense, and Edelman was out there returning kicks after, you know, the second kick. So,
and better. And he had a 32-yard kickoff return, whereas Tate's having 13-yard kickoff return.
32-yard kickoff return,
and I don't
26-yard
punt
return, exactly.
I don't
want
to see value. Tate returning punts after that. You know, you might be able to get away with that, you know, herky-jerky, you know, making moves and you, as you said, make seven steps without going anywhere on a kick. We have a little bit of time to sort of set things up. You don't have that luxury on punts.
The only guy that ever did that well was Dante Hall. He was special.
The joystick?
Yes.
Finally, in terms of the ultimate glass half full question here.
You better ask me then.
You think Belichick on any level, is relishing the fact that, okay, it was 78-26 through the first two preseason games, and then this one was a bit of a wake-up
call. Yes, deep down in places that he doesn't talk about at parties. This is perfect for him. And I heard Brady, you know, it's never a good thing
negativity.
When you lose. Yes,
he
does.
He needs that negativity.
Because he can conjure it up, but it's not as believable when he has to seek it out and search for it and really dig in the game film to get it. All he has to do is put the game film of this on. Just let it play. You don't even have to stop, rewind, anything. Just watch this crap, boys, and this is what you were last week. If you do this in the regular season, we'll get embarrassed worse than this. I think it's a perfect coaching tool, and he doesn't... The humble pie is not hard to bake this week.
Glass half empty?
I hate when I agree with him. He's absolutely right. You know, because you can do it...
Mark tape!
You can do it after a win, and you can, you know, especially after a win like last week where it's so easy and so dominant. And there were plenty of things that they did that were, you know, like, you know, you mentioned earlier, Andy, about Brady having some guys around his feet against Tampa Bay. They were, I think once Tampa Bay got a little bit used to that tempo, they started getting a little bit of pressure, you know, and you can get lost in that 21-0 lead, and it was great. But I think Tampa Bay did defensively anyway sort of catch up a little bit. But that message isn't going to get across as easily as it will tonight.
All right, so you guys are going to be here all night. Long night for you guys, right?
Yeah.
And then back
up all night.
And then back on Thursday, Patriots pregame social.
Yes, we'll be ready. I don't know if the Giants will be.
Poor Giants will be coming
twice off in 4 days.
Doubleheader.
But Paul and Andy will be ready.
All right, so that'll be leading into the Giants game 2 hours before kickoff. You guys will be back here and in studio going right against ESPN Boston Radio all week, right? Patriots football. Weekly in progress. What is
competition?
It? Yeah, it's a
PFW in progress.
PFW in progress. Excuse me.
He's dissing you. He doesn't even know the name of your show.
That's okay.
No, but that's. I mean, that's
the
that's
listeners
the
form, know the name
that's
of
the
our show.
Name. It's like the entertainment and sports programming network.
Right.
Okay?
You know, you kind of.
Is it really competition? Because we're kind of a hammer and you're kind of a
no,
nail.
No, I mean that is a good point. But thanks for joining us here in the studio.
You can go now.
In the what is it? The Subway Fresh broadcast studios
there,
here.
There you go.
Inside.
That's the annoying way Paul says it.
Andy Hart and Paul. Perillo. Make sure you check them out during the week and on Patriots pregame social as well. Thanks, guys.
Peace.
And Patriots fall to the Detroit Lions 34-10 tonight, and we ticked you through a lot of the nitpicks tonight. I'd put Vollmer in the offensive line right at the top of the list. I think Kyle Arrington and the secondary are on that list as well. And the one a lot of people are going to harp on and focus in on, Brady and Ocho Cinco, in terms of those two getting on the same page, is certainly still a concern for this offense going forward. It wasn't all bad. I thought Aaron Hernandez had another good game. And I think all three have been good, in all honesty. I know he put the ball on the ground in the first opening game against Jacksonville. But I think it's been almost all good from Aaron Hernandez in this preseason. I think it's pretty clear that he's someone who, A, the quarterbacks are looking his direction, whether it's Brady, Hoyer, Mallett, whomever. The quarterbacks are looking his direction, which I would take as an absolute good thing. And I also think you see how elusive he is in the open field. You see how the high percentage of balls he catches when it's thrown his way, the high percentage of targets converted. So he would be at the top of my list. I think Julian Edelman, I'd agree with Andy and Paul on that one, showed you something, not just in terms of special teams, but when Welker left the game, and again, sounds like he's okay. No neck brace, told reporters he's okay, talked with reporters. So I think he showed you something, not just in special teams, but once he came in and replaced Welker in the game, a couple of catches before he was dinged up and knocked out of the game. And I also think, on a much smaller scale, Steven Gostkowski came back, hit on another field goal, 4-for-4 in the preseason, had a couple of touchbacks on the kickoffs. And I think you now know that Steven Gostkowski is all the way back and healthy and ready to go. And that's sort of what I ticked through tonight. Sounds like Welker's okay, Dan Connolly up in the air, Julian Edelman, Jonathan Wilhite up in the air as well, as Paul pointed out. Both of them were dinged up in the game, did not return, though no official injuries were announced with them. Offensive line, though, is something that's concerning an awful lot of you. Something that is at the top of the list, and I think it goes back to how the season ended last year against the Jets, how it ended in Super Bowl 42 against the Giants. That is a major common concern for Patriots fans. I'm less concerned about it. And I still think that this Patriots offensive line, I'd put it below the secondary. In terms of big picture concerns. It was at the top of the list tonight, but you went against a pretty damn good defensive line. And on balance, they've done a good job protecting Tom Brady over the last 2, 3, 4 years. Most of those guys have been here outside of Connolly in place of Stephen Neal. So on balance, I'd feel pretty good about that offensive line going forward. It was a bad night, and chalk it up to that. But look, a lot of people, and we spent some time talking about this during the week And I'm sure we'll talk about it next week as well, following or later this week, I guess, following the Giants game on Thursday. This was the game, Kevin.
Yeah,
this is the one that most absolutely replicates or most closely resembles a regular season football game. And this is the one they got their doors blown off in.
And just quickly touching on that game on Thursday, I was just thinking with Matt back here that the quick turnaround and the fact that it is the fourth preseason game, coupled with the fact it's just a couple days away, it's just going to be Jag Central.
You're not going to see Welker. Nope. You're not going to see Haynesworth. You're not going to see
guys,
Ellis.
The majority
you probably
of guys
won't
playing
see
in
Brady.
That game, you won't see on the roster. We'll put it that way.
Exactly. That'll be a fun one. That'll be a good one to do.
It'll
on Patriots,
be a doozy.
Patriots.com.
Really, we're
show.
Really selling the
make sure you tune
show.
In for it. Hey, make sure you tune in for it. We'll be going 2 hours following Patriots and Giants Thursday night at 7:30. Of course, that'll be following Patriots pregame social here on Patriots.com. Our thanks to Kevin Collins, also Andy Hart, and Paul Perillo for joining us here in studio. It is the Patriots.com postgame show. We will talk to you on Thursday night following Patriots Giants here on Patriots.com.
This has been the Patriots Postgame Show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com Radio. For more news, analysis, and reaction from today's game, tune into Patriots.com Radio all week. Tuesday through Thursday, starting at noon, it's PFW in Progress, Patriots Playbook, and the Pete Shepherd Show. This Thursday, the Patriots return home to wrap up the preseason against the New York Giants. Tune in to the Patriots postgame show immediately following the game. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite teams.